Mr. Tiffin, Reel 5. You'd been for this interview with your CEO. What was the next stage in gaining a commission?
Well, Hughes, I always remember going to CEO. He asked to see my charge sheet, you know, which didn't read very well. I mean, during in my course of learning, being an NCO for some time, I had one or two incidents of various sorts.
What sort of thing?
Well, I suppose mostly the most celebrated one, I suppose, I got a bit tight, I should say, when we were in England, and I was then due for promotion to a sergeant, and I didn't get it. And I got into an altercation with some sentry at some place, and took his rifle off him, and the sergeant came out, and I apparently abused him, etc., etc. Anyhow, I mean, amongst the charges were such things as assaulting a sentry in the course of his duty, using foul and abusive language to a superior officer, refusing to obey an order and things. Oh, quite serious charges on the face of it. And, of course, they were on my charge sheet. I'd also broken a rifle by standing on it.
How had you done that?
Well, I'll tell you why. We were issued at one stage early on in 41. Just before we went abroad, which we'd taken off the guns, and actually we were just filling in time to go abroad in 41, and we were given some guard duties around the coast and this sort of thing, and we were issued with these Canadian rifles, which were incredibly old and had been in storage since the First World War. And my defence was the thing was the barrel where they the stock was rotten anyhow. I jumped down. Those were the sort of thing. Anyhow, we read out this list of charges, which I thought, oh my goodness. And he said, oh yes, Sergeant, yes, great pleasure in recommending. So, anyhow, that was only just a small reason, which I always remember with amusement. The next step was to go to what they're called pre-Ogden, which, as far as I can remember, consisted of various tests.
What type of thing?
Well, the sort of thing they give the kids now, probably people in business as well, with the aptitude tests, you know, they give you 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, and then something else, which is the odd man out, you know, the sort of thing? Many of which I consider to be pretty fatuous, but I suppose they had something behind to see if you had a bit of logic or level of intelligence. That physical test, of course. I didn't undergo all the sort of courses. The whole idea was to see whether it was worth sending you to Ogden. That lasted, I think, a month. Where? I can't remember. Palestine. I think I flew all the way back to Cairo and then to Palestine for this. Anyhow, I was accepted for Ogden, which was based in Palestine. It was a Middle East Ogden. And this would be August, September 1943. And we spent 6 months at Ogden.
Now, were you just being trained as a general officer, or as an infantry officer, or as an artillery officer?
Well, first of all, at pre-Ogden, I was going to be an artillery officer. Right? Then, after pre-Ogden, when we went to Ogden, we were asked, you know, a complement of artillery officers, I suppose, up to date. If any of the people wanted to go into the infantry, I said, okay. So that was how I. Yes, I've trained as an infantry officer,
And what did you do on the course? Do you remember what you were training?
Yeah, well, I remember overall, and I'd like to say straight away, I consider it a complete waste of time.
Why was that?
Well, even for me, and all right, I've been in the artillery, but I mean, you had all the basic training, etc. A month's battle course would have done me. Never mind about all the sergeants, warrant officers, etc. Very easy for who spent 6 months.
And what were you doing that you thought a waste of time?
Well, I mean, to start with, I mean, you went through, I mean, to put it in the army thing, a tremendous amount of bullshit. All right, we know that that's necessary up to the point. But what I would call recruit bullshit. Really a complete waste of time. I know you have to have discipline, but to start again from scratch.
So it's like a recruit's training course?
Part of it, yes, the drill and this sort of thing, and the standard required of equipment. I don't mean just keeping it clean and polished, which is fair enough, but blankering it. And we're very, very hot on that. Well, you've got some useful instructions and, as a platoon commander, but if you've been a sergeant, then your duties were practically the same. Right, you've got some useful field training.
What sort of field training had you been unaware of?
Well, in my case, I don't basically do infantry training. You started with that. All right, you went through the various weapons, the brain gun, and all of which you knew. And some of the people who helped you, I mean, knew and were become very battle hardened, and they were still spending 6 months doing this. Tactical exercises, like troops, tubes, all this sort of thing. But basically, it was based on a discipline, bullshit. I mean, you've got more brownie points or turnout than you would for steering and performing your exercise. And I really felt, and it's not just that you normal soldiers grumble about bullshit and spit and polish. The emphasis was on that, to my mind. And really, what, as I say, in my case, perhaps a month's battle training would have done. Some of the other cases, they were taking men with long battle experience, infantrymen, sergeants, NCOs, don't warrant officers, and just putting them right through the system.
They didn't need it at all, in other words.
Well, no. I mean, most of it, none of us needed it at all, because most of the people that went to OCT there were all already senior NCOs, or maybe some people were privates, but most of them were senior NCOs, they didn't need warrant officers. And my OCT anyway. It was a 6 months arduous the sort of thing a recruit would be. You're aware of the sort of things that now in OCTU prospective officers go through. I mean, it's mostly a type of military training. It's necessary for discipline. I can imagine somebody straight from school or something like that, who's going to be an officer with no experience in the ranks, although anybody has experience in the ranks. It might have been necessary, but nothing particularly. Not, I would have thought, in 1943, 44, in the middle of a war, 6 months. I don't think we had so much manpower that we would be wasting. I've often thought that. It's a bit of a personal, a bit of a phobia with me that I thought a lot of the time was wasted. I really felt that it did really very little for me, except a sparkle of my infantry training. So really, I really felt that OCT was, to some extent, a large extent, a waste of time. Or it could have been condensed.
So when did you come out? You come out about April, were you, 44?
No, March, 44.
Had you got reasonable marks in your assessment, or did they assess you?
No, but yes, they assessed you. A, B, C. A was exceptional, B was good, C was an ordinary pass, I got a C. which didn't please me at all, because I thought I was quite confident. But I hadn't shone on the spit and polish. I had a few black marks on that. However, I didn't grumble.
Were you given a choice on which regiment you're going to take it, or battalion you're going to take it?
You don't give a choice. You have to state your preference. But you were told that the fact that you were asked for a certain regiment didn't buy anything. But if there were vacancies in that regiment, naturally, if you'd expressed a preference for it, well, you'd get it, provided there were vacancies. You had to put down two. So I put down light infantry, obviously, bear in mind. The second regiment put the Welsh regiment. You ask me why I put the Welsh regiment, I don't know. I just did. Anyhow, to my surprise, I was posted to the DLI in 44 Mark.
Where were they at that time?
I think when I joined them, they were in Palestine.
And what were your first impressions of the battalion? Because very different from the unit you'd been in, an infantry battalion. What did you think of them?
Well, although I'd been in this, I've been in the army a comparatively long time, and I'd used to going to different units, I found, and of course, I was the first time I'd been an officer. I mean, it was different. More relaxed, I think, than the average artillery.
In what way?
Well, most of there again, I wouldn't know in my artillery unit how the officers refer to each other. But I certainly know that the subaltern would address a major anyhow as Sir. I wasn't so on the battalion, but he addressed it by the Christian name.
What company had you been put in?
Originally, I was put into A company.
And who were the officers you remember from A Company when he got there? Your company commander, for instance.
I think that was Alan Hay. You met Alan,
haven't you? No, we haven't seen him yet. And what was he like? What was your first impression of him?
Well, he's an older man than me. I mean, I know Alan now very well. I thought he was rather... I mustn't say that. He seemed a good deal older. Jovial sort of fellow, good officer. Yes, I got on very well with him. He was good to his secretary.
Were you given a platoon?
Yes.
Which one?
Secret. No. It's a rifle platoon, anyhow. One of the three rifle platoons. I can't remember. How do you remember?
Numbers, I think. And what did you think of your men, your platoon?
Well, that was one thing. I was used to dealing with men, and men are men as a sergeant. And but I've always thought a group of men would be 30 odd. There would be 10 or 11, 12, as I got to know them, but the people you could rely on in practically any circumstance. There'd be another 10, 11 or 12 who, if everybody else was doing their duty, could be relied upon to follow soon. And then, I suppose, there was 5 or 6 or so that, well, at that stage, I mean, it wasn't a question of battle experience. I mean, I'm perhaps speaking with a certain amount of hindsight. There were the awkward people. I had no difficulty there. If I'd been a young officer coming in straight from London, I would have perhaps been a bit apprehensive. I'd been a sergeant, I was used to dealing with men, and I wasn't going to have any nonsense. They always, I suppose, we see the subaltern come in, same lieutenant, I suppose they might assume that you haven't any army experience. But I was going to say young subordinate, I mean, and the other thing was, of course, they were all very young. I mean, it was perhaps four or five of them older than me. But at 22, I was one of the oldest there.
What do you remember your platoon sergeant?
Well, I had two platoon sergeants. The first one was a fairly stolid sort of fellow from the West Country. Can't remember his name, nor can I remember the platoon sergeant that we actually remember.
Now, in Palestine, they were doing sort of some guards, some civil, civil guards and things. Do you remember much about that?
Yeah, well, I think, yes, it was Palestine. We spent a lot of time training. Yes, I do remember that in a hazy sort of way. They say civil disturbances. My recollection of it was more, I suppose we didn't know them at the time, but Stern Gang, and I learned fermenting trouble. I don't know, it was the Jewish people. My only comment on that, which is always infamous, my view, is there was no trouble before 1943. There certainly wasn't any trouble from Alamein at that time, because the Germans were too damn near. At least that was my somewhat cynical observation at the time. I don't remember much about it, except walking about in darkened streets and this sort of thing. There was a curfew, I seem to remember. That was the main thing, enforcing a curfew.
That'd be near Tel Aviv, you were.
Tel Aviv, yeah.
Now, they moved up to Rama near Tiberias, Lake Tiberias, and there they were training a lot. Do you remember that?
Yes. Well, the whole of the recollection of the time there was training and going on courses. That was an interesting point. You mentioned my passage as an adoptive. I hadn't been in a battalion long before I was sent on a junior officer's course for a month or 3 weeks. And that was useful. It was all battle training and stuff.
Do you think you could have done with just that then?
Oh, yeah. Of course, of course. Anyhow, the point is that having been on this course and having come back, a few days the colonel sent for me, so I got the result of the thing, very, very pleased. I think I'd come third or fourth in the whole course, so that restored my confidence. All Altu did to me was destroy any confidence. So I was pleased about that. Yes, training all the time, platoon training and then company training. But it's all a bit jumbled. You say Tiberias, that's at north. And I thought we were also at Baalbek, Syria. And Damascus, perhaps was a short leave. Training, a bit of leave in Cairo, I think. Training.
Was it effective training? Or?
Yes.
Johnny Preston left during that time. How do you got time to know him?
Yes, I mean, when does it say he left?
Just around about June.
Went back to Italy. Now there you are, see how bad your memory is. If you'd have asked me, I would have said that Johnny Preston came back with us to Italy. But he didn't. No, I know, because Warren took over.
What did you think of Preston?
Fine colonel, yes, had a very high regard for him. There again, a subaltern, that was a great man, but he was very, very easy to get on, very, looking back now with a bit more experience, considerate to his subalterns, very well liked by all ranks, an efficient colonel, I would say that again.
You wouldn't have much time with him.
No, but he was a very approachable man, and he would always make an appointment in the mess or anywhere like that of speaking to the to his subordinates and getting to know him.
And what about Worrell? What initial impression did he? He'd been with the battalion anyway.
Oh yes, he was second in command.
And what impression did he make on you at the time? When he?
Not much at the time. It was later on when he was commanding us in Italy.
Were you pleased you'd got your own man in, so to speak, another Durham in?
Never gave that a thought. Everybody was very sad, is that the word? Was not pleased to see Johnny Preston go. I say he's very well. Right, but he got a promotion. I think he was good.
So in July you went back to Italy, or the battalion went back. It was your first time.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about the move?
Yes. I remember it was a damn sight more comfortable on the short journey on the troop ship being an officer than, as I mentioned, being another rank swinging on a hammock. Even then we were crammed, I think, 60 or cabin or something, but that was sheer luxury. No drink on board. Well, it's an inconsequential requirement, I remember that. Like that was the American influence, they haven't been too much. It took us 4 days, 3 days or something, which compared with the 10 weeks that it takes we can go to England or the Middle East. Impressions of arriving in Italy. Southern Italy didn't look a great deal different from some parts of Africa. Train journey, reminiscent of things I've read about the First World War, getting inside a truck, and rattling up to somewhere. This is what gets you. I've looked at the history, I haven't looked at it recently. They mention names and places. I've got cameos on them in my mind. For example, this journey in the train, where we went, I don't know, we carry on more training. People came in, of course, you got reinforcements, new officers joined. And it was mostly training that I suppose was carried on. We obviously did a divisional exercise, I seem to remember. That must have gone on for what, a couple of months or so?
So what's the... They moved up eventually, at back end of August.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that? Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I remember going up in the truck. There was a terrific bombardment going on the right way from our gun. Getting out of the truck's orbits. My impressions are just a series of cameos. When you read the thing afterwards, there seems to be some obviously some grand design, and you know, grandiose phrases are made. So and so company held this bridge. Your own impression of that, well, what you might have been doing, etc. But I'm thinking in general terms now. But it's very much a cameo.
What are the cameos you remember then? It's perhaps.
To start with, it seemed to be fairly easy going for a couple of days. Walking uphill, crossing little bits of river, walking up another hill, getting shelled at first sporadically. Sometimes. People got whittled away. That's one thing looking back on it. How your platoon got whittled away without any particular action. A couple of casualties being shelled or not. Two or three boats standing on a shoe mine. I've got a vivid memory of that. Moving through a field or an area. A lad on my left screaming out. He'd stood on a shoe mine.
How did they work?
Well, the shot came up here. People were always frightened to get in there. ball had blown up. This was this fellow's main shriek, I remember. It was all right that it happened.
In the lower thigh.
In the lower thigh. It was a nasty thing. A fellow used to drop off here and there, chap. As far as I remember, no serious casualties, but fellows with shrapnel wounds and this sort of thing. Even in 2 or 3 days, you lost 4 or 5 men. When I say lost,
this is while you were moving up, the enemy was withdrawing to the Gothic line there, according to the histories.
Yes. You see, the difficulty is you've got very definite cameos, whether they're in order or not, I cannot say. But I do know for one night or 2 nights, it wasn't chewed by at all.
Were you all right yourself? It's the first time you'd been under fire. As an infantryman, I mean, did you find yourself nervous? Or?
No, not really. Because I've been used to a certain amount of bombing and this sort of thing. So, you were always apprehensive, but not excessively so. Gothic Valley, people always, I suppose, have an idea of some sort of a line. We all know that's not so. But quite heavy shelling in places. Quite tired, even though nothing greatly close contact at that time. I recollect.
Petriano was, I think, the first thing you did, first village you captured on about the 28th of August.
There'd been some sporadic shelling, as I say, probably lost 2 or 3 men before. Now, Petriano, I think it was Petriano. This was where we had tanks with us. I always remember even thinking at the time, it was rather like these pictures, which I always suspect were posed pictures of people marching behind tanks. But however, that is what, in fact, we did. I remember advancing across here, the tanks, and we were behind the tanks. And it all looked a bit like a posed picture. Now, the funny thing was, Petriano, when we eventually got there wasn't any resistance in Petriano itself. But I seem to recollect, as there must have been the odd sniper here or there, because as we were walking up behind these tanks, you could hear the odd whine and ricochet going on. I remember advancing cautiously into Petriano, taking the necessary steps, doing it all by the book, very carefully. Could have been heavily defended. As it turned out, it wasn't. That was a great relief, and I think probably everybody was a bit too relaxed, because we'd only been in Petriano half an hour before they started knocking hell out of the place.
Shelling,
88. Obviously high, well, I mean, I could recognise it, the flat crack of a high velocity wind. And they really did knock hell out of the plate. A lot of us, as I say, including my then company commander, which wasn't Alan Hay, I moved to D Company.
When had you done that? Sorry, just to...
Sorry, I'm very early. Before... Before we left for, was it after? I can't remember. Either before or after, during the training, and I really can't tell you whether after we got to Italy or not.
That's all right.
And Frank Duffy was my company commander. I remember that because, as I say, we'd gone into Petrograd. Obviously, the fact that we entered this place, which we'd anticipated would be quite heavily defended, but it wasn't, I think there was a certain amount of euphoria with accession, the old grotting door. What I vividly remember when this started, we were in this stone house, very thick wall. The cellars underneath, we weren't in the cellars, we were just relaxing. I was leaning against the wall, Frank Duffy was on my left. So the very first, or before that, a chap.